10 September, F-POM.
Yeah, a fat fifth. Because he was gone for 2 years. This one's for 9 months.
I think so. He might as well.
He's got one of those big ships.
Does his family not like him or something like that?
Sir, are we ready?
My wife
should be off.
Okay.
No one will take me.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to get started.
Great. It's a September slow now.
Where is the sign up? Oh, Nathan has it. Okay, so shall we do introductions first?
Yep.
Can we find out who's on the phone? I have John Bailey and Towns. Anyone else?
Yeah, Russ Kiefer's here. Good morning.
Good morning, Russ.
Thank you.
It was McDonald from Walla Walla.
Thanks. Good morning, Joyce.
This is Brad from Walla Walla.
Good morning, Brad.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Shane Scott, also from Walla Walla.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Are you on your
chat?
Fishing boat?
Fishing for walleye.
Far west.
Jen Graham from Walla Springs.
Hello, Jen.
Hello.
Is that everyone? All right, so here on the table, to start with, we had Bob Wertheimer, who was chief of the FFU deploy, so in his stead, we have Nathan Zorich doing the nine-month detail as the chief. So if you need something from FFU, you can contact Nathan and me. And backfilling behind me, so be kind and stick to the agenda so she can take notes, is Carrie Gibbons. She'll be doing a three-month detail in my old position.
You really have a choice. Either be kind or stick to the agenda. You can't ask us to do both.
Stick to the agenda and use kind and gentle voices. Do not.
Unlike you.
That's right. Do as I say, not as I do.
Okay, Mom.
All right, so Tammy Mackey, Corps of Engineers.
Carrie Gibbons, Corps of Engineers.
Ricardo Walker, Corps of Engineers.
Tom Lewis, Crickfoot.
Eric Van Dyke, Oregon.
Charles Moreau, Washington, Wildlife.
Ann Sutter, Corps.
Trevor Condor, NOAA.
Bjorn Vanderloo, Corps.
Neil Zimdel, Corps, John Day Dem.
Agnes Loop, BPA.
Bob Cordy, Corps of the Dalles.
Ida Reuter, Corps of the Bonneville.
Deb Baus, Corps.
Nathan Zorich, Corps of Fishfield. All
right.
So I guess we need to know if anybody has any changes to the agenda that we didn't get on here. I think we had one comment as we were sitting here asking about how Ice Harbor trap discussion went at the Walla Walla Fitterwick, so we'd like to put that on there because we were going to set a date sometime in October, so we want to add that. And then I had an email from John Bailey that a Unit 4 thrust bearing MOC for Lower Granite, that they were potentially going to have a date change, and I don't think we really have any updated information at this point on that, except that they had it, it's out, and they were scheduled to do it, and now they've run into some difficulty with the time and date that they scheduled, so they're going to be rescheduling. So
I had asked for a quick update on John Day and the sturgeon.
But you have that update, so we're not going to add it to the agenda this time.
I do beg to differ because the 15th was after the FPOM, and we haven't seen anything in the summary, in the final day. Because
we have. The MOC is out.
But the MOC didn't address the 15th. That was on the 4th of August.
No, it's in there under the updates. It's all in that MOC as well as the
weekly
report.
On the John Day weekly report. I would like to see that paragraph that you have in there added to the FPOM notes.
It's not appropriate to put it in here?
It was appropriate to have a discussion on on the
15th. All right, so moving on. Are there any changes to the August meeting minutes?
Why are we so adamant about not talking about...
We're not going to just add random things to the FPOM agenda to extend the discussion. When we do an MOC and we finalize it, it's sent out. There are no further issues.
We're asking
Charlie
for an
had
update on what happened after we talked about
and it was
ones
sent
that
out
inappropriate.
The update has been sent out. Charlie said that that met all of his needs for his questions. We don't need to add it to the FPOM agenda just as a doubling of that.
Well, maybe not to the agenda, but to the notes.
It can it's on the FPOM website.
So at any time that we do an MOC, it actually becomes official for the record, and when all the comments are added in, which it sounds like they have been, then all of that's already documented.
So I didn't look at the MOC, but the MOC was written on the 4th. So unless that language was added to it.
It does.
Certainly. At this point, because it happens so long ago, if there's specific questions, Muriel will be happy to address.
Before it's finalized, all of the comments and dialogue should be added at the bottom of an MOC.
So the language that's in the JA weekly report will be added to the MOC?
Well, there was some explanation.
She has to answer that.
In the notes, I think they're asking, can you add like a link to the MOC? Can you do that in notes? And then that might take care of your issues. And then we can move on and all the happy
sure
stuff.
That was it.
Can add a link. Add a link.
So
if that language is
down
out of the MOC, I'm very happy.
It is in the MOC.
It is in the MOC, even though the MOC is dated August 4th.
Yes.
Final MOC has been posted to the web, and it does include the updates. Oftentimes, the MOCs and MFRs are updated as new information is available.
Okay.
And so it is a complete record.
If it's there, I'm content. I did not look at the MOC. I did not look at the MOC simply because it was not its 4th date.
That's when it originated, but you got to look at the updates.
All right, thank you.
So were you going to add in the MOC for the Lower Granite starting of July earlier?
We put it on, but we gave you a date out 2 weeks because it came in really late yesterday, and it wasn't work until December. And so I was talking to Tammy about this. This stuff that there seems to be this path from some groups within our building of the day and day before FPOM, all of a sudden we're like storming in with all these MOCs, and it's like, you know, they don't necessarily have to be addressed that week. They're 2 weeks, 2 weeks notice, which is what we're trying to do with everything. And so that's what we did with the Lower Granite. I know you guys had a discussion at Fitterwig. I don't think there's any surprises in that. It's on here down under FPP, and we can take comments on it. But we're going to have that comment period open for 2 weeks, too. So.
Okay.
We're trying to, I think as a group, we're going to be trying to rein back in, back towards that 2 weeks so that people do have an adequate time. I mean, we have emergencies where we can't take that amount of time, but it seems like, at least at our end, we're finding things were starting to get a little out of control there, that people were forgetting that that was the rule. So we're going back and talking to people and trying to see if we can't get that. So, because, everybody's not in the office all the time, et cetera. We will still have emergencies that happen, but that's life.
We'll deal with them as needed.
Yep.
I just didn't see it in the agenda I had. So.
Yeah, when we get an MOC that has emergency, wrapped around it, is there a different protocol? Is it labeled differently? Are we going to try to go to that step, or are we going to fit it all into this 2 week?
Oftentimes, if it's an emergency, you'll get maybe a 3-day notice, but the action is going to happen, and then we'll follow up with FPOM afterward.
So to help keep those separate in documenting over time, it might be helpful to know.
I think usually, if it's a short fuse for us in the dialogue, it just says, please respond within X days. So when you take a look at the email comes up, you don't necessarily open the attachment, but the page that the document's attached to generally says, please respond within by such and such date and time. So that kind of keys it in.
To look at the date it was delivered and the date that the response is requested to get to that?
Yeah, I think...
We could put emergency in the title if we needed, if that would help flag it for you.
I'm just wondering if that might be helpful for others when we have conversations that had come up 3 weeks later on something that was short on. At least we all.
We hope not to have too many of
them. I know.
We tend to have when we are trying to minimize them. We're trying to put more process in place.
Well, just follow your process, all I think you're trying to do.
Yeah, it's just that there's a lot of people out at a lot of locations and a lot of interpretations, and so we're kind of reaching out and seeing if we can get more people to help us support
that. Just bring them into the tent. You just got to pitch that big tent. Bring them all into the tent.
Yeah.
Revival time.
Well, that was kind of the pitch. The pitch was that this is just as important as any of the other processes, and we should try to be as organized as any of the other process for completing projects. So we're working on it.
Thanks.
So I guess sounded to me like we didn't have any. We went ahead. We're done with approval of the minutes. Is that correct, Tammy? Did we get that thumbs up?
Any additional comments to the minutes? Excellent. Yes.
Okay. So then our action items, I think, did anybody have any problem when they went to Fitterwig, I guess, getting an update from David Trachtenberg? That was a due out. I went back.
Other than teach Derek how to use a conference line system, other than that, it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
We'll figure out what's going on in Walla Walla District. Well, Trachtenberg seemed to go to the conference line. I don't know what Derek's problem is.
And I guess just to add on to that, did you have a discussion of any possible dates for an Ice Harbor Trap on site? Russ had asked us, Russ and Becky, back in, I think, late July, early August, we talked about putting together an on site out there. And I don't know, Russ, you're on the phone. Has there been any movement to try to toss out any dates yet in October?
I've not heard of any, no.
Okay. So maybe I'll either do a doodle or something like that and start asking. Does mid-October, maybe the week after FPOM, sound like a reasonable time to be shooting for?
Ooh, I'm looking and...
You're in the middle of hunting season, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom has me down.
Well,
for that. I probably could do it in the middle.
Okay. I'll toss out some dates and we'll see what if we can get people together. You know, this was just going to be a site visit to kind of look at what we have and some of your thoughts as well as anyone else's on, you know, ideally what might be there if we thought that we were going to be going into a period of another summer like we had in 2015, and whether we'd want to give some different consideration to that site. Anyway, it's not like from an operations standpoint we're financially prepared to do anything. However, you know, we'll be good to get everybody vetted out. You know what?
I guess that really kind of raises the question of: is there some plan to do like an after-action report on what we did for Sockeye this year? If it was effective, what could have been improved, what needs to be improved, or what went right, and that kind of stuff. Is that FPOMP's task? Is that
Fitterwig's? Well, I know Noah, we're working on
I
writing
figured you guys would
up.
Be.
And then I heard that the FPC is also writing something up, so we're already going to have dueling documents. Do you want a third?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, Fishing Game's going one, so we'll have three there, Trevor.
I don't know. You know, Idaho's going to do something. So I'm saying, like, but all these documents, it's great that someone's created a document, but what happens to them? Do they just go into the void and get put on the gray literature pile that seems to grow every year? Or is there, I'm kind of looking toward the action agencies going, it seems like you guys would want to have some sort of coming to Jesus moment on this and figuring out what we're doing next year, because this is probably not going to be a unique situation.
Right, and I think, I don't know, you know, Doug, there's been some mention at the division level looking at it, but what we could do if everybody's going to have reports is maybe we could just have a kickoff discussion here at FPOM just to kind of...
Book report day?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Kind of just bring it all together, let everybody lay on the table their thoughts, like in a summary form, you know, of what happened and what their concerns are going forward. We could capture it here, and then we could kind of see where it needs to go.
And
you want a task group for that?
No, God, no, because I know about that. Unfortunately, it's probably needed. But I'm saying before we write the fish passage plan and the fish operation plan for next year, this is something that probably needs to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it's probably going to be in our forum.
Well, we're going to try to have our report done by November, maybe a little bit later into November. So after that, then we can start to... whether it's good or bad, or what you guys like it, and if you like yours better, or whatever, and then we can take the good bits out of each one, put them together, and do what you're saying, modify the plan.
Oh, so you guys are just coming up with like a modified plan for the RP?
No, we're just assessing what happened, and then making some suggestions that we could take further.
So basically, take your report, probably Idaho and FPCs,
and come up, try to modify the plan we currently have to ensure we have a good
I think it's appropriate to have some discussion here.
There's going to be some debate, I'm sure.
But I'm just saying, I'm just trying to figure out, is this what we're going to have? Is it going to be FPOM where this where we'll, because if it is, then we need to make sure we have the right people at the tables.
I don't think it's a good idea to have FPOM as the overriding. We're going to judge all
stuff. But I'm just saying, it has to happen somewhere, because I don't want
there's going to be some stuff that rises to the top.
I really don't want to do the TMT FPOM special meetings three times a week next July through August, because that seemed to be, what word am I looking for? Stupid.
Yeah, so we'll probably make the best.
I think we can be a little smarter than that. Right. I think we can try to pre-plan a little ahead of time. We've got a bunch of information. We have 2 years where this is happening. I think we can probably pull it together, try to come up with a plan, a better plan we can, and as we go into it, we'll modify, because we're going to modify the plan.
What we'll get out of your book reports is some suggestions, and we'll respond as to our ability, whether or not we can accommodate it, you know, whether we agree, things like that, and then we'll see where it needs to go from there, because it probably will need to get elevated to other forums, but I think it's okay to bring it here with, you know,
change to the FPP or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is that you won't have a book report.
The core? At this point, I don't think so, because it's really what we did is facilitate Idaho Fish and Game actions, if you will, and NOAA then is doing kind of how well things responded in terms of tracking the ESA issue. I don't.
Okay. I'm just trying to figure out, do you guys have a timeline? Because say if we want to operate the trap, I mean, how soon do you need to know you have to do that so you can get your contracts in line? I mean, that's
Ice Harbor?
Yeah, like say Ice Harbor. So that's probably going to be one suggestion people come up with. It's like, hey, if we want to operate Ice Harbor Trap to collect sockeye, how soon do you guys need to know you need to do that so you can get your contracts and personnel in place so we don't have what we have in this July going, like, hey, it's a great idea, but we can't do that for a month and a half.
Can't
move that quick. So I know you guys are big.
We're not even sure that we have enough there to make this work, and I guess that's what the October visit was going to lay out, and Russ had some ideas on that as well. I think you're right, it's not easy, and the sooner we talk about it, the better, to have some idea. Number two, it's not like, you know, we at O&M request funding 2 years in advance, so it's not like we have funding available to just go out and start work next year. You know, the process would be that Joyce, who's on the phone, she's our ENS business line manager, would have to take a request to division, see if they could reprogram funds to find money, etc. That said, if we determine that we don't need any real structural things just to put something in place, sort of like what was suggested in season this year, then it might just be a personnel cost, because we had FFU that was going to be part of this, and it looked like we might be able to get some support there. And that would be a little different than our standard contracting, because that would help us possibly shave time depending on their personnel availability. So, you know, we have to kind of, it's important that we have the October meeting and get a feel for what the needs would be to have something that we think would be effective. Number one, it might not be perfect, but could we make it more effective than what we tried to do this year? And then, so we just, we need to kind of step through it.
And so I'm just trying to say we need to rent equipment. I mean, do you guys need a 3, 6, 9 year head start on that? I mean, that's some of the key things we need to identify quickly on, saying, here's the stuff you guys, we think you need to rent or have available.
Yeah, so, well, like I'm saying, the next time that we can put it in a budget request would be 18. So anything that happens between now and then, we have not requested funding to support.
But there are emergency things that can happen, like the McNary fish pump issue. Didn't we get a backup pump in there pretty quick for that? I mean, that seemed like that happened relatively quick.
Fish pump issue, the domestic water supply.
Yeah, the domestic water, when we had that going on, you put a pump in there.
Emergencies happen, and that's how, you know, if there's funding available within the district, particularly at that project, sometimes, you know, it's not an issue. So, but at this point in time, you know, we've got a couple projects where people are thinking that maybe some changes would be prudent. Little Goose, Ice Harbor, both of them will have the same kind of issue in that Joyce, who's on the phone, made a budget request for 17, and that was to cover her routine O&M out there, operate the fish facilities, our biological services contract, things like that. There was no extra several hundred thousand dollars to do some of these other things that people are asking for. And so in order to do that, then she has a process that she goes through. So, laying out kind of what we have, what we think people would like, what the needs are, and then inevitably some of that stuff will get vetted at higher levels because it's not going to be routinely available.
Right. So we're thinking also that we're probably going to end up going down that road for Ice Harbor, depending on how these discussions go and, these reports or whatever that we look into. We're thinking that, the Ice Harbor trap is feasible at Fairwig. It seems, they have some chillers there that they can get fish into and keep them alive. So we should probably start going down that road to getting those lines and those dots sort of checked off that we can actually get funding for that, because we're thinking it's going to be feasible and that we're likely to use it if we get into a situation where we get there. So
yeah, I wasn't at Fitterwig, so I don't know if they have a document or anything of what they've put together. And I guess that's what I was kind of hoping.
The Fitterwig?
Yeah.
Yeah. They basically looked into it, and they said, we think we can use the Ice Harbor trap. It's feasible. We don't think we have to go in and build a new structure or significantly modify it. We think it can be used.
Okay.
So there's a couple of issues with it. One of the issues is returning fish that are incidental, non-target fish. What do you do with those? Do you transport them up? I think with a slight modification, we can make some kind of return line to the ladder or to the forebay to release those fish, so we don't have to accrue additional handling with transporting them and what have you.
Okay.
But that's a simple modification similar to like the AFF, where we have just a tube that goes down at an angle with some flow going through it.
Right.
So and a supply pump.
That kind of stuff lightly isn't a huge issue,
yeah.
But when you come into needing additional facilities.
I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's just going to be the existing trap with a small release line.
Okay.
Let's get the wheels going for that, because that's probably one of the things that's going to come out of our report. Just in our internal conversations with Bill, I, Gary, and Richie, it's something that we think is we should give a shot if we have a similar situation.
Sure. Okay. Good. Thanks for the update, Trevor.
Yeah.
Trevor, what was the other issue? You said we done none.
Well, the other issue for me is just the temperature issue.
Yeah, temperature issue.
And
yeah.
So as you put those fish into a holding tank and the water's chilled, the amount that you because the forebay water at Ice Harbor where the trap is can get up to above 80 degrees. In fact, there was one period of time where it was like 86 degrees Fahrenheit on the very surface.
Right.
You can't hold fish in that temperature, but they are in that temperature as you're pulling them up. So how much do you chill them as you hold them, and how does that process work as you gradually reduce the temperature to transport those fish? That's something that's going to be important to keeping those fish alive that we're going to have to get a handle on. So
that's where the potential chiller comes in, because...
Which they have, they said, in the tank. In the holding tank, they do have a chiller. I'm not sure of its capabilities.
And we need additional. That's the rental question.
Mm-hmm. So, Charles, was there any talk of trying to find either chilling water or finding some kind of cold water supply so that you can get fish to enter the trap? Because I would just be surprised if it worked when the water... You have incoming water at 80 degrees... Were fish still moving in the trap this year?
Well, they were. They were going through the ladder at not a super fast rate, but there were fish going through the fish ladder when it was warm. So you would potentially be able to capture those fish. So, at times we had like 12 a day or whatever going through.
And the loss, it was again halved what you had at Ice Harbor versus got to Granite. So we lost half between Bonneville and McNary, and then once we got to Ice Harbor, only half of what we counted at Ice Harbor where we got to Granite.
Right.
About roughly the numbers.
Right. And,
yeah.
And it would have came down to we would have trapped and hauled a lot more fish than we did had we been using the trap.
At Ice Harbor.
Yeah, at Ice Harbor.
Right.
Now, whether or not the other issue, and Russ might allude to, is that there's a genetic issue whether these fish are actually destined for the upper snake. I don't know if he wants to talk about it, but there was a number of fish that they transported that didn't necessarily check out genetically. Where those fish are from, if they're UC fish or they're Dorchak fish, I don't know if we know yet. So there's that issue as well. But.
Interesting. Okay, yeah. I don't know, Russ, do you want to comment?
Well, yeah, a couple of things is, one, I found out that our Eagle Fish Hatchery has the capability to make their own ice off their well water. And so that's what they did this year, is they hauled ice up with the trucks and used that to chill the water down in the tank that they put the fish in. And so it's one, it's much easier, and the thermal stress is much less on fish when you're bringing them down to cooler. So it's not, you can shock them if you go from warm to really cold, but you can bring them down to cool without impacting very much. But on the other hand, I did hear, and it's just a preliminary run, but that of the 51 fish we picked up from Lower Granite, the initial run indicated that 15 of them were mid-Columbia fish. So we haven't seen that in the past, but in this crazy, brutal year, apparently some of the mid-sea fish strayed as well. And that was one of the issues with maybe going to Ice Harbor. And then on the Ice Harbor tour, we might want to think about October 15th. We have SET that day. We might be able to do a double down, have SET at Ice Harbor or so, or McNary, since it has better facility, and then go to Ice Harbor for a tour in the afternoon of the trap facility. Might be something that could be done. So think about that, Ann.
Okay, that's good. I was kind of looking at the middle of the month, so the 15th is right there. I like that. Plus, we'll, I don't know, how does the rest of you guys?
That's fine with me. It looks like...
It's out for me.
Do we have anybody else
I've
for you
guys?
I've
seen trap work, so I don't really have to be there.
That's October 15th, right?
Right.
That's just a suggestion. Since we had SET that day, I know we've done that in the past. It's helped get people out in the field.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's Thursday. I think it may be work. I'll have to check the calendar.
Would the day
from
before
the 15th,
be better?
In the next week, unavailable.
October, yeah.
It's October.
But it should work out for me.
Okay, Russ, I'll see what kind of response we get. With, I think I'll jiggle either Dave or Becky as well, so we have some folks from Nez Perce talking. And then the states, we have a few people here. We got Oregon and Washington not saying that sounds bad. Tom's like... thinking it's
iffy.
I can make
the 15th
work.
Okay. So that doesn't sound like too bad of a date. We don't have anybody from NOAA. Trevor is not available, but he might be able to have a backfill with one of it, like Bill Hevlin or Gary.
I'm looking at Trevor because I thought there was an erdict.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that day, so I'm looking at it. But that's going to be Gary and Bill. That's for the TSP.
Yep, and I know Julie and Scott are going to go. Yeah. And they need to be at that meeting.
Oh, so
I might be able, if you do it on the 15th, I actually might be able to make that day.
Okay.
But for BPA, Scott and Julie would need to be present, so we just need to verify that they're going to be in town. So I have it in my notes to let them know that
okay.
Scheduled for that. Did you find that?
No. I'm getting service.
Okay, so why don't we try to get something out, and we'll see if that'll work for people. We can.
Seems like that's later.
Maybe we. Why don't we like tentatively put it on for October 15th? We'll have to look into room availability, etc.
September
21. Oh, okay, great. Thank you.
And then we will have one more FPOM before that. So if we have to do any final finessing or dancing, we could always do it that week before. But
yeah, and start thinking about how you would do a release pipe, if that's something that's covered under FPOM, or is that a SET thing, or
well,
who would cover that? And
yeah, that's an interesting question, because my understanding, I had a brief discussion with Randy, and you know, anything major, I don't think he was interested in. He felt mm-hmm. that they turned over the trap
yeah.
to O&M.
Okay.
So that's where I get nervous in terms
yeah.
of that we'll have to work through, you know, Joyce, we'll have to see what, and you'll meet Joyce here shortly. She's our business line manager for fish, wildlife,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing, and controls kind of the purse strings on what we have. But
yeah.
at this point, you know, if it's something that's minor that the project staff can actually do, like over the winter,
that's
something that Ken, I think, would support, you know, would help us support. And I think Ken wants to try to make it work. So We'll just need to work with him. But if we get outside that scope, that's when we'll start running into some significant discussions.
Where, it's a big issue.
Because, you know, the traps are an interest, like Lower Granite is an interesting, like we own the trap, but we didn't actually pay for all that rehab in, through O&M. BPA did.
And that'll be
a discussion point.
A discussion point.
Yeah. Right. So I'm not tossing anything. I'm just letting you know scenarios here. Yeah. So that said, we will tentatively pencil in the 15th, and we'll hear from people if that doesn't work, et cetera, here shortly. It'd be kind of nice that for those that don't think it's going to work, if you're going to pass along people, ask them to get back to me maybe in the near term. Little Goose temperature profile, towns you're on. Basically, the action was to investigate replacing the thermometer with a logger. So this is the scroll case temperature. People were asking about it in lieu of the warm, you know, how much information was currently available. I did. One thing that, with all of this temperature stuff, I think you asked about this last time, Trevor, the best path forward for us with people's needs would be to work through our water quality program so that things are automatically updated to TMT rather than starting to add little things on site, because we're not staffed to do that, and we have no mechanism to get the data out to people.
Right.
Now, there's a little bit different time frame and things like that on it, but and I don't know if you had any discussion at Fitterwig on that.
Well, we asked them that same question that we asked you, who would take the lead on getting that to occur, similar to the streams and the data that's provided. And they said it's not our responsibility since, you know, we do like major modifications. And then if it's related to that, then we could do something. But if we're not doing a modification and testing that modification, then it's really not a CRFM item. And
right.
So they referred me back to FPOM.
It's O&M. I talked to Steve Jewell twice this week because when I wanted to look at the Lower Granite temperature strings, they weren't coming up on TMT and they're having some technical difficulties. And then I asked him whether or not you had a chance to talk to him just in general about some of the needs. And so I think since before Towns talked, I just wanted to kind of preface it with, you know, we do have a water quality program operated by through engineering under our hydraulics group. They're the ones that are out installing in the Lower Granite ladder some additional monitors that will upload just like the other strings do through the TDG program, and that is the preferred methodology moving forward rather than hit and miss out at the projects trying to get our project staffed, because we have some big challenges trying to keep our projects staffed in season, and we don't have a good way to put data out onto the web routinely.
Right.
And
that
so
makes sense.
So do you want to kind of answer the question, Towns, with all that preface?
Yeah, I can, and just to reiterate, we currently don't have any temperature probes in the scroll case at Little Goose. So what we've been using there's a thermometer attached to the cooling water line on Unit 1. Previously, we would really only go to this area when we were rotating the strainers to check for lamprey. So that wasn't happening as frequently as I assume everyone would want the temperature recorded. So what we did while we were in that hot spell was we added that, collecting that temperature data to our fishway inspection, which typically happens at least 3 times a week. But just to give you a picture of what we're looking at, this cooling water line comes out on the second floor. It's a bit out of our way for the fishway inspection, but we're still managing to get down there. But it you know, it is exposed to air, so it would, it's not going to, my guess is that it's not going to display the exact same temperature that you would get for scroll case, but it would be, you know, approximately close and would give us an idea of the temperature of the water that's being ejected into the tail race. We're looking at an alcohol thermometer that's mounted at about 10 feet in the air, so, you know, we could be off by a degree, even depending on the person's perspective looking at it. But that's what we've been recording along with our fishway inspections. So when I talked to some of our tech and operations folks here, one of the problems that we ran into to modifying that is that the that cooling water line does not have any method to isolate it while the unit's still watered up. There's no valves on there. So for us to change the thermometer that's in there now and put a probe in there that can record, we need to wait for unit one to be unwatered. So that, you know, that obviously presents a challenge in itself. And logistically, with the people we have on hand, it seems that getting that done wouldn't happen until this winter work period. It's something that our folks are on board with. They said this is something that we can upgrade. It just wouldn't happen, you know, immediately.
So that's good. And are you going to be then just adding the information, particularly in the summer, just to your weekly report? So would you just be reporting then from your fishway inspections in your weekly report so people would have some regular place where they would be expecting it?
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's something I wanted to pose to everyone here. If we were to upgrade this, I guess one of the questions I have is how frequently would you want this to sample? I mean, is this something that you would want sampling every hour, every minute, once a day?
Not with the precision that you're talking about. I think, you know, the request for this came online because there was a lack of any other information and people were just trying to get a general feel for what we thought was going on there.
Well, but if he's going to upgrade that with a new thermometer,
yeah,
I would assume that would be an ideal time to have someone's water quality group. I don't know who that could be, possibly TMTs, Core, somebody.
TMT has unlimited resources. We can just throw up on the web, right, instantly, hourly up. Well, I'll do it
I'm
today.
Saying you have until next summer to get her done. So I'm giving you the notice that it's now
it's not
9 months to 7 months. It gives you almost 9 months to get it to at least make a shot at getting it done. I know you guys are slow, but I think you're not even that slothful.
It's not Doug's group. It's Steve Jewell. It's within the district. They interact with Doug's group with information, getting it up on the TMT website. It's actually a guy named Russ that works for Steve Jewell. And we have to, and that's why I prefaced towns, we have to kind of see what it will take resource-wise to get someone out and get this automated so that it could upload. What towns is laid out is not that system.
Yes.
He's laid out something where he walks past it all the time,
right,
and he's saying it might be a degree off because it's exposed to air.
Well, if they're going to redo it this winter and they're going to upgrade it then, however you upgrade it, make sure it's easily compatible to basically a more automated system.
An hourly automated system.
If you can't do that next summer, fine, but at least make it so it's a digital thermometer so people can read so they got the same number, and then if they can get it to us in the fishway inspections, at least it's better than nothing, but then we at least deal with they don't have to be on a 10-foot ladder to make sure they're all eyeballing at the same level.
And in the meantime, you know, weekly report until a situation happens, and then he can go down there and get us the data on a more frequent basis if necessary until you get it automated.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, the automated to get it up on TMT is, like I say, we're going to need to have some discussion with Steve Jewell where he lays out costs associated with it because, again, you know, Towns can do his stuff with the project. He is not part of that whole automated system. That's down in, like I say, under, right, in our water quality section, and the cost to just add stations as well as the maintenance and et cetera, you know, all needs to be part of the evaluation process, and people need to provide adequate justification for each one, how critical it is, and then they'll get back a timeline.
We can do that.
If you want a what? Letter?
If you want a letter from us and saying the fact that we were going to actually turn off spill at Little Goose based on no data, and that is kind of a big deal, that we were actually going to do that, but we had no data to justify one way or the other. If you need a letter saying, hey, before
well,
we make major operational changes, maybe we should have some data to support that, I can write that letter to
you. We have temperature strings in the forebay, I think, and we have temperature strings in the tail race, and so we do have information. And
but you don't have them at depth at where that was the whole problem, is we had people saying, scroll case, the turbine is going to make things a lot cooler than what we currently have. unfortunately, scroll cases, that takes the whole four bay. It's an average of the four bay because it draws pretty equally.
Right.
Deep spill bays draw at about 50 feet. So the question became is there a difference between those two? We had no way of knowing that. But we were going to go forward and make major operational changes with no data. Now, I can understand doing that in season when we didn't have an option. But if we've got options, i.e. collecting data so we can be smart in our operational decisions next year, I would assume we'd want to do that. Now, if I need to write a letter about that...
Well, hold on. So towns, what's the potential? So you provide this data on, say, a weekly basis on a typical scenario, but we come into a temperature situation. Is there any ability to give this particular system like an hourly read that you could even go down there and get your information on an hourly basis? Is that a possibility?
But what I was offering here for the immediate for the near future is that if we this winter period, if we can get in there, if we can upgrade get rid of the essentially alcohol thermometer and put a digital thermometer in there that has some type of has a way of recording, set it up to record every hour or whatever frequency you want, and then once a week we'll go and download that data, mm-hmm. submit it like I've been submitting my temperatures for the ladder, and then depending on any scenarios that come up, if you need it more frequently based on some heat spell that we're going through, then that's something we can arrange as needed.
Okay, that sounds fine then.
So it sounds like there's support for you moving ahead, and it sounds like you have the project resources to undertake that. So with those assumptions, I guess maybe after you complete it, you could come back and just let everybody know here at FPOM, you know, your status during the in-water work window.
Okay.
I guess, do we want to ask you to work with your staff to see if there's an opportunity to get water quality people to automate that by next season? Is that a reasonable
option? I think there's probably some, there's going to be some bigger questions as we move through some of the requests after this year for temperature data, and we're going to be talking about that, and we can have this as part of that. What I'm hearing here, Charlie, is people would like towns, since he seems to have the resources to do this and would be able to provide something which is more than we had this year, that they would like him to go ahead and proceed. I would say that the ability to get something in at Little Goose next year, not having any funding at this point requested to support the water quality section, is probably not that good. So it's a long-term pursuit, and it's going to need to be an organized effort. So that's where I was saying, you know, adding stations to, like, the TDG program, et cetera, it can be done. We need to just understand the costs, and then as we move forward, we'll have to build those into future budget requests, and we'll have to look at implementation as well. Okay. You know?
Understood and appreciated, but I think it should be part of a long-range plan, I think.
I
would hope it would be.
Well, I mean, I think as we get the water quality folks out there, you know, this particular location may or may not be the best, since it's really not all that accurate and it's in the air. It may well be that something else turns up, and that's why I don't really want to lock down on anything right now. I'd rather just let the people that have that expertise make some recommendations, have some further discussion. So that's what I had with Steve Jewell. I was like, you know, we're going to have some discussion with folks. I asked whether, because I had shot an email to Trevor suggesting when he was at Fitterwig that maybe try to have a brief discussion with Steve. I saw Steve. He said, no, you guys hadn't touched base. And I'm like, well,
we will, though.
Down the line, we're going to have a little bit more organized effort here. So not going to go away. A little bit more to come.
Yeah. In the report that we write, we'll probably identify that this is an information gap that we should probably fill. And that would be more justification to getting those funds directed at something like that.
Because a lot of that may hinge on what we've learned from the data we have this year. The review of what worked, what didn't work, where we need more.
Sure.
That's understood. But hopefully the discussion will be ongoing and saying we understand that and we're looking down the road, do we need to go?
Right. I'm not like trying to close doors. I'm just kind of trying to punt down the line until we get some of the information assembled and get the right people here.
Yeah. Short term,
yeah.
We've got to fix
So thank you, towns. I think people appreciate your efforts in kind of coming up with something that would at least provide some more information, particularly as soon as next year, if you can get this in during the in-water work window.
No, we appreciate the effort. I'm surprised that we're going to put the impetus on the project to have to come up with this. But if that's the way.
Well, I'm a little reluctant to have the project take it because we don't have the resources at these projects to take on these things. And the next thing I know will be next year, and somebody will be saying, "Yeah, but I'm one guy short, and this is up in the powerhouse, and da 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 da." But towns at this point feels comfortable, so we'll see how it goes.
Part of his cardiovascular program.
He's right.
In the powerhouse.
So, thanks. Let's keep moving. The next one was Mr. Junkie. I didn't hear you on. Were you on, Steve Junkie? Okay. So, it sounded like Lomo diffuser grating replacement delay. And, Trevor, that you requested to be brought back here. Since Steve isn't on, do we want to punt this out to the next meeting?
Unless you don't have, do you have any information on that? Because the idea was at Fitterwig, they were going to go through the CRFM process to replace the diffuser grating. Is it Lomo, right? Is it the one you're
talking
about?
If they're going to do that, that is a whole new game.
Well, no, but that got delayed because of other funding issues, and so
it was O&M funding.
What concerned us is that he showed us some pictures of some pretty significant holes in the diffuser grating, and so we're worried about fish just getting through in the interim. So what we're saying is, well, when we do water, through the O&M process, whatever small amount of money you have, you should go through and at least cover those holes up so that we don't have fish going through. That's our only concern with it for now, just to get us through.
So let's get Spurgeon on the phone for next meeting to talk about the holes that need. I mean, this diffuser grating at Lomo is like condemned. Okay,
yeah.
I mean,
it's bad.
It's bad. Mm-hmm. Guy like Bill can't even really walk on it.
Why did they go CRFM on it?
They were going to, and then I think it's because of your project.
It's your damn bell to water.
That thing sucked out like $12 million out of the system and pulled a lot of small projects. Is a story I got. I don't know.
Actually, the issue
can from Rock on that one.
Yeah.
The issue is that through ENS, which Joyce is now the lead on, funds were requested for Lower Monumental. Funds were received to do the diffuser grading. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. I think the last time they had a Fitterwig and Dave Statler questioned the materials that were being used to replace it. Well, then it turns out that because Unit 1 at Lower Monumental needs to have the blades repaired, that dewatering behind the bulkheads in this section, there's no way to keep it dewatered to make it a safe work environment. Mm-hmm. So that's what's killing the project.
Okay.
So the bulkheads have to be repaired before they can go in and do the full grading replacement. And that doesn't guarantee when we'll get the grading funds again.
Right.
It has to be prioritized. Yeah. So that said, I think Bill was really disappointed, Spurgeon. Yeah. We were really disappointed too because it's been kind of a high priority to try to get it done. But if there is some small holes that can be repaired, that the project, if either can get a contractor or something like that, maybe we're going to have to gather some information because this is new to me. This isn't something that was brought to us. It sounds like it was brought to Fitterwig.
Yeah, it was brought up to Fitterwig. When he said that it's canceled, it was like, well, we got to cover those holes up. They're like, well, that's at Palm. So
I wasn't aware of holes. We have rust, and that's the biggest safety.
No, he showed us some holes that were pretty substantial. So I'm not talking anything serious. Just get a welder out there and cover them up.
Sure. Okay, so why don't I, since I think we got this second hand.
Yeah, play it over. Just kidding.
So you get out of the woods a little too long.
All right, so that's it for our action items.
All right, for Portland. So the Dallas Adult Flows, I have not scheduled that meeting. We'll have it sometime before next year. And basically that will just be the group to get together and talk about what we saw, what we think we, information we think we need. We're not setting triggers.
That's clear.
Okay. Because division asked. It's like, no, we're not setting triggers. For the Dells, North Rock Wall, that is complete. Ricardo sent out all that information, and you got comments back from Gary.
From Gary. Did you look at it yet?
I had a quick look, and I didn't have any huge heartburn. What did Gary? I didn't see Gary's comments, so.
He didn't have a lot of heartburn over it either. But I've got his comments here if you want to read them.
I have not heard if Rarisich has scheduled a special fitter week yet.
No. October 1, I believe.
So, yeah, he was going to go over, what was it that he wanted to go over? The B2 FGE.
Yep.
And he's going to go over that on October 1. So, fitter week will be October 1st from 9 to 12 in this building. And then after lunch will be SRWG.
It is
going
to be this building?
Well,
he might want to ask me if I want to give me a room.
he's probably going to talk to you first. I just talked to him this morning. Anyhow.
He's going to be donuts now.
That's the tentative plan for location.
Then I become the Core North. That's what I want to know.
Jesus. Yeah. SRWG is here that same day?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why he just...
That is why they were kind of thinking that. And then there'd be some follow-on the 2nd of October for SRWG, right?
Yep. Right now, the SRWG is scheduled for 2 days.
All right, so then the Pinniped Task Group, let's wait until the Pinniped update to talk about that. Okay. There. So you've handed out your agenda. We'll discuss it under the update.
Okay.
All right, so that brings us to...
Okay, so completed or discussed later, we do have Joyce McDonald on the phone. We asked her to come and talk about McNary Fish Pump 2. That's in here before updates, but I think we're probably ready to go ahead and let you give just a brief. Gary's not here. He specifically just kind of wanted an update on where we were headed with this to resolve the issue. This was the second time, you know, that it's kind of something that's been ongoing for a number of years. So, Joyce, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, sure. So, Fish Pump 2, I'm not sure if everybody's aware or not, but upon inspection after they took the shaft out, they found out that there was... several cracks, which made it not usable. It was also found to be out of alignment during the same inspection. So the decision was made to have a new shaft fabricated, and it will be completed in mid to late December. It's about a 16-week timeline to get it fabricated. So the rebuilding of the pump will commence soon after we get the shaft. And that will be dependent upon the contractor's schedule availability, which we'll be working with our contract people here, and because they have been issued a partial suspension because there's no further work to be done on site until they get the shaft back. So commissioning is anticipated to occur between March and June of 16, all dependent upon the completion of the rebuild. So we have authorized the fabrication of the shaft, so they are working on it. The contractor is, before they leave site, winterizing it.
Wow, you're breaking up. Or are you winterizing?
Rotor back in the fish pump.
Okay, yeah, you're breaking up pretty bad, Joyce. I'm not sure what if you're on a cell or what.
It's probably because Kenny right next door is speaking so loudly. So we're winterizing by putting the rotor back down into the fish pump itself and replacing the cap until the work can recommence.
So did I hear that right? You're targeting March 2016 for completion?
To June.
June? March to June?
Between March and June is what we anticipate. It could be earlier, but we don't want to shoot ourselves in the foot either.
Well, that'll be nice to get it back in service because that will give us a spare pump that we haven't had in a number of years. So,
so while this is decommissioned, we don't have a backup.
That's correct. For the Oregon, for the Oregon ladder.
And so what's, I mean, it would be nice to have this back online, say, by April 1st.
April 15th,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, because you'd want that backup by the time you start to get spring Chinook run coming up.
Well, the district will be working aggressively with the contractor in pursuit of that, but since we had to have them on a partial suspension due to the fabrication of the shaft, we can't guarantee their availability coming back dependent upon when we get the shaft in hand.
Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. So anyway, what they're asking, you know, if there's any way possible just to push it, try to get it ready for spring is largely the message.
Right, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. That is definitely everybody's agenda here is to get it up as soon as we can.
Okay, thanks, Joyce.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on, I did not update the color-coded lower granite construction schedule this month.
Has it changed?
No, I was not aware of anything changing. That's why I didn't update it. Rental pump operation. Elizabeth is not on the phone, but our current contract for rental pumps at Lower Granite expires on September 23rd. Basically, she has just her ladder temperature. As I said, the TMT website has not been up since about the 1st of September. And while I pushed Steve Jewell in the Tuesday and Wednesday to try to get some data. There's a problem. Apparently there was a problem at Ice Harbor as well, and they have a contractor and needs to be reset, etc. He was not able to jiggle it to get stuff going to get me any data prior to the meeting. But that said, all of the data that Elizabeth, via just the informal that we've been doing the last year or so, has us down really, you know, 67, 68, staying well in the range. And so we would like to target, I think, next weekend, just turning them off since the pumps need to be out on the 23rd. We're hoping that we will get those four-bay strings up. So I don't know if people would like to have a check-in, or how do you guys feel about that? Do you want to just keep running them until that date, or... I know this is right out of the blue, so you don't have to answer today, but...
Well, what do you guys have, about 1,200, 1,400 Chinook going over there, plus a bunch of steelhead? Temperatures next week are going to get better.
I think over the weekend it may be warm over there, but we are, you know, we have shorter daylight. We're getting pretty cool nights. We don't seem to be jumping up and down like we did in the middle of the summer.
Normal swings have been minimized.
Yeah, I think we're on a pretty comfortable path here that we're going to be down in the mid-60s pretty consistently.
How long were you planning on having a funding source?
We have a contract. David Claver has a contract that expires on the 23rd of September. Last year, we took the pumps offline September 11th.
Yep.
So, you know, today
pretty
is the 10th. Proposing today was that maybe something like the 19th or 20th or the 21st that we would just shut them off. And let them.
I'd say the temperature below like 67, I'm totally fine with it.
Okay.
That's just like total grab ass number. I mean, I'm not based on our data.
Yeah, have the lines, really differentials in those lines changed? And in the recent past, have they come closer together from all of the temperature string information that's out?
Let me pass out what I have. Sorry, I didn't make copies of it.
We don't.
Sorry, I didn't know if Greg had been sending this out the last couple weeks because I was out on leave, and Elizabeth has been. You know, they've been having that Monday call still, and this is kind of what got talked about. So
could you repeat, I received an inquiry, too, regarding the lower granite temperature stream data. What was the return to service date expected, or is it undetermined at this time?
It's not determined at this time. There has been a request put out to the contractor. What we think it may be is next week. We're not sure when next week. I asked if it was at all possible that we get it by the middle of next week or early next week so that people had that ability to weigh in on our decision to be pulling them out next weekend. So I think... for sure, before the end of the week, we'll have it returned to service and those strings will be back on TMT, but I don't know the date yet. Steve Jewell just got the answer of sometime next week. I yesterday said, how about can we push to try to get it earlier, because we're asking people to kind of weigh in on a decision here. It'd be nice to have the data.
I'd say I like your 19th, 20th, just keep that path going unless we see a really good reason to stop
change.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah, I'm certainly okay with the 19th or 20th.
Okay. With that, I think we're done with our updates for today.
All right. So we have upcoming maintenance. Ida, any changes to T11 and T12? Excellent. And then the fish viewing building roof, that should be completed by Monday. You can walk out on it again.
Yeah.
They put down the sealant. Don't walk on it. You'll leave your footprints all over it.
You gonna put your handprints in?
No, right. And then one other to add to this that isn't on there is 15 Bono 6, the Cascades Island FB5-4 repair. And Ida does have an update on that.
It's all money, right?
Yeah, so we would like to, the week before our schedule to come out.
We could, if we needed to extend.
The project would like to remove some of the asphalt and do some investigations to what's going on with the subsidence near the ladder. It would be within, part of that would be within our days. So we need some clearance.
What is he starting up here,
though? So the 67
expected to maybe get back up. Maybe in here.
And you'd be doing this work?
No.
What do you think?
See where we are.
It's
not
good.
Let's just keep it locked.
Just depending. October still have larger amount of fish time through. If you got even like the morning, like if you start like at noon or 1 or something like that, I could totally get behind that.
There'll be an updated MOC with this information, of course.
But tentatively, if numbers totally drop off, then yeah, I'm not going to be as excited. But if you could do like starting probably no earlier than 10 or 11.
And the reason they need to do it while it's watered up is the suspicion is that water's coming from the ladder.
Yeah. You hope.
So the intent then is to dig down, and if you see water, that's what you're going to.
Then it becomes a different issue that we'll repair later.
You hope it's not
a fail. I hope, Or if it is coming from the ladder, at least it's coming from where the patch was with the old fish lab, and it could be repaired easily.
Keep some loop on that.
Nope. You're in the dark now. That's all the information you get. So, Ida, go ahead with the next one.
Okay. The project's requesting that we start our winter maintenance in Oregon side this year. We'd like to start it 2 weeks early. And the reason for that is we have a couple of fish falls that we want
to do
some repairs and preventative maintenance. As you know, we've had a couple of fish falls go out the past few years. And so we want to get at 4-4 was repaired a couple of years ago. It had a failure. And we'd like to get into 4-3. The only way we can get at it is if the ladder is completely dewatered. So this would be an opportune time to get at that anchorage system, which is what has failed in the other fish valves. So preemptively replacing that to hopefully prevent any sort of failure in season.
When was Oregon coming out?
This winter.
Well, I know this winter, but...
1 December. Now it'll be 15 November, and there will be an MOC with the fish numbers coming out on this as well. So this is more of a heads up.
So the question is, around the time, we probably want to change powerhouse priority then as well, too.
It would already still be powerhouse 2 priority. It will remain powerhouse 2 priority since it's Oregon Shore winter maintenance. There'll be an MSC for you to contemplate and comment on. That will probably come out today.
I'll let you slide.
Turn the corner collector on.
All that projection.
Except the ice and trash sluiceway will still be operating.
Yeah, that's not that pretty powerhouse. That's right, though.
Wouldn't turn it on normally. Yeah. All right, so moving on to the dowels. Cordy, do you have an update on the trunnion pin?
Is it in your office?
This new
there
stool.
There is a meeting next week, so there is movement on it. I have not seen anything on it yet.
You guys did find the trendy pen though. You know where it is.
Yeah, they have.
Okay.
Well, they tell me they have.
I have seen the pin.
No.
We did see the pin. It's in a box. In the powerhouse.
No, it's in the box, but it says trendy.
No, we looked at it, didn't we?
There's something in the box.
We opened it to make sure it was in the box.
Just checking.
Yes.
I know it's in the box.
It does exist. It's not powerful.
It's not just the box, it has the trendy pin.
So hopefully we will be moving forward on that. Small projects could not complete it this year. I know.
How many years?
To, you know, at least we have people looking at it now.
That is
so
a
we've
start.
Made yeah. progress.
That's a start.
Glacial.
Hey.
And
10 years.
Only glacial.
All right, moving on to the Dalles North Rock Wall work. We've covered that, unless you have anything else to add.
No.
Try.
Yeah, I'm assuming there's going to be an MSC when you're going to talk about the work and all that kind of stuff. The time frame. That's really the only questions that Gary and I discussed a little bit. Just like, just making sure the work is done in the work period. If there's pushback, like you have to do other stuff, we have to prioritize. We're going to probably prioritize East Ladder over this. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, well, and it sounds like they're going to be able to fit it within 2 months.
Yeah,
of the 3 months, so that'll give us a month to deal with East Ladder yep. stuff.
Cool. As long as you get enough. That kind of stuff.
Yeah, good point. Because in the next 2 years, we're going to have a lot of time on the East Ladder to get some things done, assuming we have the funding to do it.
For AWS.
Right.
Okay.
All right, so go ahead and do the next one, Bob. Winter maintenance.
I just wanted to get that out there just to make sure everybody was aware of the one that we're going to take the north out early this year. November, so we have a full few months on AWS. And one of the things that is coming to light on this is the diffuser maintenance. We have a handful of diffusers that are stuck open. Some of them we're just going to leave because we don't foresee ever closing them or ever having a need to close them. However, once we get the AWS system in place, we are going to have, but we're going to need the capability to close some. And so for the south entrance and west entrance, we have, and some in the collection channel, we have a total of about 9 of them that are stuck open. So we're going to need to do some maintenance on those.
So you have to fix 9 of them?
Yeah. And it could, you know, it could be as simple as just getting lubrication in the right spot.
Yeah.
It could be as complicated as ripping the whole thing out.
Yeah.
But we've got some estimates on those. Yeah.
Have fun with that.
That's it. Any questions?
So, does that mean you might need an extension, as you're thinking, or are you just giving us a heads up there's some big work in?
No, I'm just giving heads up that there's a lot of work on those to be done. And there are a handful of them we're not going to do anything with because we don't foresee anything.
All right.
That knows so Gary can see that we're not going to fix the diffusers. He loves that.
Not going to fix.
Unless somebody can come up with a reason we need to close them. And we'll put that on the schedule look, try to get it fixed. But
Gary gets excited about that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it, Trevor?
I feel like I should let Gary comment.
All right, then. All right, so moving on to John Day.
But the only thing that is, if you can tell us which diffusers are currently frozen and then which ones you're planning to fix.
Yep, did I include that in the attachment? The diffuser, list of diffusers.
I am not sure, but the winter maintenance schedule is posted to the website.
I'll check.
So okay.
Check
if you don't have it, I can send it out.
All right, so Miro, digital governor testing and flattening the blades. Go ahead.
Well, at the last meeting, Gary Frederick suggested a possible option to prevent that movement of sturgeon from draft tube into the scroll case by flattening the blades, which sounded very good. However, it's not technically feasible because it could cause some harmful effect on the mechanism, and it would destroy the seals, would end up being an oil leak, which would be probably worse than what we're dealing with already. So it's just, that's what it is.
How much can you flatten them, though? I mean, was he saying completely flat, or just to the degree possible?
I don't know about that. That's another question I have to ask the technical guys, the engineers who can tell me more about that.
So
I think my impression was that they have to be hanging in the, you know, without any flattening at all, whatever that angle is. It's not 100%. I think it's at that minimum angle. Mm-hmm. To be in stored, long-term stored position, because we're talking about weeks, a few weeks.
So you're saying if they're left in that flat position for a long period of time, that can ruin the seals?
Yeah. I have a document, I don't know, I sent it to Tammy, so you can read it, it's quite long. And again, they considered this they said that it sounded good as a concept, but it's not workable.
Yeah, well, I guess, I mean, as Trevor mentioned, it's like you might see, like, how flat can they make them? And if we take a look at that and see, that might be
enough.
Yeah,
there's got to be some area in there that they're comfortable with, because that's how they operate, right, at some point.
For operations, yes, but that usually happens, you know, within a short amount of time. But when they restore it position, I think it's a little bit different. There's lots of equipment that's being disconnected and so forth. So I think it has some impact.
So I'm not finding the email now, but as I recall, it's they disconnect it and they can't hold the blades flat. They've disconnected the power, the pressure to them to keep them flat, so they drop.
So that was his suggestion to keep the problem from occurring again with the sturgeon getting in there. So what if we can't do that, what will we be able to do so that doesn't occur?
Not aware of anything at this point.
So I was kind of concerned about the amount of time that they had, like this 10-minute interval where they'd run and they'd stop.
Right.
And then it sounded like they were continuing to do that for quite a while.
No, not quite a while. That was up to 17 minutes, which was only a few minutes over 20 minutes. It was only a few minutes over that 15 minutes limit in chunks.
Okay, in chunks, though.
Right.
Okay.
So it was still fulfilling the spirit of that.
Right.
I mean, they still kept it in mind. However, it was not exactly literally 15 minutes. It was a little bit over this entire interval, but not about a wide margin either. So it seems just a kind of strange event, which is one time only. It was like, hopefully we have another unit now underway, and they've been watching it to try to minimize it again. They will be watching it, obviously. Because the whole operation was quite expensive, I said to Tammy too, if you understand what we had to go through to salvage the sturgeon was quite expensive operation.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we had to do it, but there is cost involved because we had to undo lots of things which later, because the unit was already in service when we found the fish, and we had to remove the screens. I mean, it all takes time later. To be able to dewater again. We normally dewater units only once every 5 years. So dewatering is a big operation.
So what was the reason that they turned it on and off so many times?
Turn on and off for what?
Yeah, they ran it for 2 years.
Oh, testing. This is functional test at the end.
And then they had a problem. I mean, normally we don't have this issue though. We have to do it so many times. Like you do it one time.
I have
an
idea.
And they did it
multiple
times.
It was just one day, but that's what the technicians do.
There were some other suggestions as well, stop logs and things like that. What's come of that? Has there been any attempt to make those changes for the one that's going on right now or upcoming?
What specific changes? Because I don't.
Putting in the tail logs when you do the digital governor test.
That was deemed infeasible because we don't have enough of those.
There were some suggestions of making some modified tail log type aquabatai, I guess.
Oh, the screen tie. That would have to go through feather wig. That would take a while. I mean, it cannot be done in house or in the short term. This is not the first time this idea has been mentioned, but again, the scale, the size, it would be difficult to do.
Yeah.
Concept, again, sounds okay, but because of the sizes that we're dealing with, dimensions, it would be difficult to implement. I think, but I mean, that would have to be pursued through Federal Week, I imagine.
Oh, okay, so we'll go back there and they'll tell us to come back here. okay.
Yeah.
Sounds great. Right.
Even going through O&M, plans and specs would likely take a year, and then you'd have another year before you could fabricate, and you have to have it in the budget, so you're still looking 2 years out unless we end up with end-of-year funds, which certainly, if we have them, it's something we could do, but...
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess we'll be ready for the next time.
This is kind of the non-routine type of operation because of the digital governor maintenance, and doing normal dewaterings, we really don't have that much of a problem. Like the last time, we just dewatered main unit 3, which has been sitting a long time, by the way. Out of service was failed, and we didn't find any sturgeon in one small, mostly catfish.
It's just no action isn't really very satisfying now. So trying to move forward on solutions to things like this seem like appropriate.
I think we have to keep in mind what the frequency and duration of these kinds of instances are, and is this an anomaly based on the year in terms of how many sturgeon are present? And like Bob said, you know, we're going through the installing these digital governors throughout these facilities, so it's the time frame that we're really going to be doing this kind of work. So, you know, you got to weigh, you only have so much money, and prioritize what we're going to be putting into place. But I think the team there did an excellent job of...
No one's talking about the team's performance here.
Yeah,
we're talking about potential
I wanted to...
So
say that they did a good job. So thank you.
For sure.
But I mean, there was also
on the surface of it, yes. I mean, it sounds somewhat, unsatisfying not to have any remedy. But sometimes that's how it is. Unfortunately, we just
hope you're responding in real time.
We cannot prevent 100% of some of those unusual events occasionally.
How flexible is the timing of the testing, Miro?
Pardon me?
Could you do the testing at a time when the sturgeon migration isn't on, when the fish aren't trying to move forward? Is there some flexibility in the timing of when the test is done?
No, it's at the end of the cycle. When the work was done, your unit is returning to service.
That's a big issue.
There's not much flexibility.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we don't really know why. I mean, those sturgeon were really not that large size, most of them between 2 to 4 feet. And I mean, they were mid-sized sturgeon, and I'm not sure why they were there.
All I'm saying is that you guys spent a fair amount of time and money trying to salvage them, and I'm sure that wasn't inexpensive. And you are probably going to be working on turbines in the future, I'm guessing, especially because John Day isn't exactly the youngest of projects. And you do occasionally work on more than one turbine at a time when you don't have enough tail logs. So if you come up with another, sturge exclusion tail log that maybe is less expensive and fairly easy.
We will continue to pursue options.
You will have to convince the United States Congress. This is a national issue. This is millions of dollars, and we just don't have I think we don't have enough.
I'll see what we can come up with, whether it's plans and specs for another set of tail logs or a different set of tail logs.
That's true. We can just keep sturgeon listed,
so,
and then we'll have all kinds of money.
Moving on, awesome. Do you have an update on the AWS pumps?
No.
All right. No update on that yet.
All I know is going. It's the work is happening. It's ongoing. That's all I know. Nothing significant. The AWS pumps in service are more than available. Nothing has changed. Work is ongoing.
You still have one
out of six. We got 4 out of 6 available.
And you're checking to see there's not wobbles or any problems causing those?
No, lately they've been working fairly stable. Knock on wood.
Yep. All right, so moving on to research and Federwig updates. Do you have any updates, Ricardo, other than the October 1 meeting?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. So that brings us to our lovely globe forecast.
Mug.
Yes.
On.
Flow to granite yesterday, 9.9. Average outflow at Flow to granite was 22.1 kcfs. 5-day forecast on the 14th, 20 kcfs. 10-day forecast, 17 kcfs.
There you go.
McNary yesterday, average outflow 97.5 kcfs. 5-day forecast on the 14th, 80 kcfs. 10-day forecast on the 19th, 92 kcfs.
Are you not doing projected peaks?
I can do that if you would like. Going back to Lower Granite.
You're going to screw up her, you're going to screw up her bingo card.
It doesn't matter. It's just at least
no,
it did. So if you're not going to, that's okay.
I couldn't even follow directions in the email, so it's already stated here. Going back to Lower Granite. Peak 21 kcfs on 9/11. McNary.
Coincidence?
Yeah. McNary. Low of 77 kcfs on 9/13. A peak of 94 kcfs on 9/18. Am I good on the table, Tammy?
Thank you.
Okay, back to the email. Let's see if I can read the email. Yesterday, 9/9 average outflow 100.4 kcfs. 5-day forecast on the 14th, 82 kcfs. 10-day forecast on the 19th, 98 kcfs. Low of 81 on the 14th, and a peak of 99. On the 18th. That's the forecast.
Yes. So we're going to have more on the 17th.
Alright, looks like you might be.
Alright, now you're on the deal.
Okay, kind of an update. So, looking to put together a fifth head patch group meeting for sometime in October. Okay. I've been kind of gauging interest with our cooperators at NOAA and the states and CRIFIC. So it seems like people think we should have a meeting, so trying to put one together. I passed out a very draft agenda, kind of based kind of on the what we did from September 2013. So I'd like to do this as a kind of a standalone meeting, since we'll have people coming from long distances to attend. So basically just looking for input on what kind of additions we can make to the agenda. I thought of some extras already, but we try to cover a lot of stuff in there. Also some other update information. We have Stellars back in the tail race at Bonneville. They started showing up like mid-August. Kind of like that's become the common thing now. We had 13 Stellars on project yesterday. A lot of repeat animals, so the animals that we recognize from years past. We still have, each day we see a California sea lion using the four-bay trap that ODF&W placed up there back in late May. So pretty much he's using that trap all the time. So hopefully the states can find some actual time to go
trapping.
Do the trapping, yeah. And then last little bit of information, talk to Matt Tennis down at Astoria, because the count of the East End Warren Basin, he said they had 700 Californians down there, which is a kind of is a huge record for this time of year. So.
How are the dogs? They're still floating.
Yeah, as far as you can tell. Yeah. So that's all I have.
Last thing I wanted to stress about this upcoming FPOM subgroup kind of head meeting is just kind of to put it in a broader context, the importance of this meeting. Last year we had record number of Stellar Sea Lions for the project. It was massive, you know, it was a really, really huge year, unprecedented year for Stellar Sea Lions. And the spring Jack Chinook count was pretty low this year. So when we start talking about proportional take, what percentage of the run could be taken next year, the stars are aligning for, it looks like it could be a bad year. And so that's why I wanted to really encourage the art right up and circle the wagons, get all the partners together, and just look at what we're doing. Is that enough? Can we do more?
Sounds good. So do you have a date in mind?
That's the hard part, because I'm gone for 2 weeks in October.
Yeah, October's tricky. I only have like a couple days available in October, and 14th would be one of them. If that's,
yeah, I'm gone at that time.
Can we do it in November then? Or?
I guess we could. What about the very first part of October? Are you totally gone at that point too?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I called Gary, but I guess he wasn't around, so talked to Garth Griffin at NOAA, and he seemed interested in attending.
Yeah, the first or second I could do, I guess.
Is that, there's something else?
The first you have Portland Fitterwood.
Yeah, first and second.
And the second, SRWG on the second.
I get the rumors for the court.
I talked to Doug Hatch yesterday. He said he would support having the meeting here.
He can argue with me over rooms.
Oh, okay.
You guys can have the big one downstairs.
What's the name of this room?
Core North.
Yeah.
I don't know if that'd go over too long.
It
might be a little tough.
So, yeah, I haven't even been able to talk to Robin Brown from OWW because he's just, I guess, been so swamped that, and he's kind of like, you know, the head T-line guy around. So
he's like a T-line.
I'm having trouble tracking him down because he's so busy all through September, I guess. So I'll talk to you, Trevor.
Okay.
Try to get a good deal.
Yeah. So October's pretty tight up.
Okay. Talk to us about that.
Exactly. We want you sane.
Yeah. All
right. Nathan, do you have any lamprey updates?
Well, probably the biggest news on the lamprey front is that the plume structure module has been shut down for the season. The numbers just dropped off completely. And we're still operating the passive structure down Bay North. Probably going to shut it down next week. We're hitting the tail end of that run as well. Did a modification to the John Day South Ladder adult trap, and that's been pretty successful. It's Nero mentioned on the ride over that it's actually catching as many fish as they're seeing passing during the daytime. So, I mean, it's 9 fish a day. It's not a huge number. But initially, the situation was that fish ran into the trap, but they were able to leave. They had some piping to it. Now it's been successful. The tribes have finished collecting their translocation allotments. As far as I know, everybody was happy with their ability to get access to the projects and had pretty good luck catching fish. Warm Springs might still be working at the AFF, but I haven't heard from them lately. You up in Atlanta? Yeah, I'm not sure either. No, they were starting to catch fewer and fewer fish, so they were starting to wind down. I don't know if they call it quick shed or not, but they were tip tagging in support of movement studies in like the Hood River at 13 miles. And the University of Idaho has an ongoing radiotelemetry study in the Snake River, and so some of those fish in the John Day South Ladder trap are supporting that effort.
What was the update on the structure study in McNary?
Yeah.
I seem to remember seeing information on the McNary lamprey structure.
Or a good structure.
Yeah.
You know,
there's been some. Yeah, it hasn't been very... Well, salmon don't go through it, but either do lamprey. So,
yeah.
What's your update?
So, success and not so success. I just haven't seen any reports or data.
Yeah. I mean,
I think they're currently collecting video there to try to determine usage and the interactions.
They're going to go for a second year because it might be the oil smell issue or something on there.
They're hoping.
Or the cure. So, we'll see.
That's all I have.
All right. How about any avian update?
I don't have any.
Okay. No update. All right. So this critical infrastructure for the DALs, which will be first, Carrie will now get to schedule that. So we'll get it scheduled eventually.
Is trying to get on there somewhere?
How?
Yeah, we got that done. We got a box.
By the time we have this meeting, that will be taken care of, so don't worry about it.
That's what I'm afraid of.
All right, so BPA updates.
No updates other than we have new people coming on board. We hired a new hydro team member, Scott Donahue, and he's actually from NOAA from Florida. So you'll see him here at the meeting. You'll still see Christine and Julie and Scott Benton, but I am transitioning out. I've accepted a new position, so this is it.
Agnes, you're leaving us.
It's been great.
Wow. Short stint. Where are you headed?
I think they're the only ones hiring.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Corporate strategy.
Huh?
Congratulations.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You'll be missed.
Thanks.
Okay. Coordination notification forms moving ahead.
Yes. So the Dallas Railroad rail removal, that schedule was moved by 2 months, and I did not see any comments. So that's all approved. Sweet. And then Ricardo has the transformer installation.
Yeah, and that got shifted 2 months out between the contract, and so the schedule, the order of replacement's the same, just the start date.
2 months later.
Yeah.
And we promised us that we'll have redundancy, so I'm fine.
What's this for?
The transformer replacements at the Dells. Oh, so.
Okay. That's a new development then? That's not the one we talked about last time.
It was the one we talked about last time.
But it just got pushed 2 months later.
Yeah.
And we'll talk again
that's
another 4 months later.
That's part of the reason why we're talking about today, because it was pushed 2 months later than what we talked about earlier.
There was a potential.
Is that right?
Correct. That,
okay.
That's why we're
bringing
it up again.
With AWS?
Well, we're talking about transformers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to a railroad.
So let me guess.
Oh, yeah.
Change that
that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but we're okay with the redundancy for the
as long as you've got redundancy, I'm fine.
Okay. Yep, we do.
Okay.
That's the plan.
If you don't, you'll get beaten. We'll see that.
I'll start calling in for my office.
All right, so we have to go back to the railroad rail.
So over the east exit, we were planning on doing that. Or the FPOM recommendation was October or November, and that conflicts with the AWS backup, because they're mobilizing the set up right there. They said absolutely not. So we need to go back to the August. August proposed.
Really, really?
Time. Yeah.
Really, really?
Yep.
This is next year?
What's that?
Next year?
Yeah, not this coming winter, the following winter.
16.
Or the following year.
I'm going to have to put that one on hold. Let Gary talk about it.
Yeah.
Can you go the time.
Yeah, the other question, could you go the other way? Could you go after Merchant Area 7 done? Like start doing it March? I could rather have you guys futz around early March than August.
March is better than August.
A lot less fish in March. Really?
No, I'm not. I'm thinking.
No, okay. You gave me the same book my wife
I thought there
I'm
was.
I'm a complete idiot, so just double checking.
There was some other conflict.
So we're going to have. So why don't you update the MSC and
send it up? Okay, so the original. I don't remember what the original was. So they were looking at the original for between July and
August.
November. They wanted 2 weeks in there. He said that was not July.
Yep.
We first proposed August, and FPOM said no, you can do it in October, November. But now that conflicts with
the Merchant Express. So you'd have to do it, we'd have to find some magical time in August, potentially.
I recommend it just the time that we normally do our ROV.
Yeah.
We usually do it the first week of August. That's when it's the biggest dip between the summer and the fall. We have things shut down.
We'll put that primary, send it out in primary MLC. Gary and I will chew on it. We'll see who chews harder and send you comments back.
Or we just canceled the emergency back.
Yeah. Do you want to see Gary go literally through the roof? That's been his baby for, God, it's been 16, 20 years for him.
All right. Am I up?
You are
both?
Up.
Sorry.
Yes.
Okay, Brad, are you still on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
You're up. Thank you for being patient.
Absolutely. So in our continued attempts to collect data at Ice Harbor on the existing turbine unit. We are proposing to try again to finish our sensor fish data collection this month. We've actually started today with our operations within the 1% range. And after talking with Trevor and having comments from Trevor and Tom on trying to operate at the generator limit, which is about 700 CFS beyond the upper 1%, it was asked we put it off as long as we can. We did testing last fall in November because of a whole bunch of different maintenance issues and so forth. In the earlier fall, we couldn't get the work done ahead of time. So in November, we ended up with a lot of weather issues and had some problems with losing sensor fish in the tail race, and so now we've got some of that worked out, so now we're trying to get the data collected before November to allow the project to continue with their annual Unit 1 maintenance schedule and so forth. And so we're going to push the generator limit out to October at the request of Trevor and Tom, where we should have even less of an impact on any juvenile fall chinook that might be out migrating.
Okay, so is that everybody okay with that so that we can say it's approved at this point? Or
I'm not sure if Scott has looked at that.
He was on the list, I think.
Is that Agnes?
Yes.
Okay, Scott, yeah, I don't know if he's seen the MOC, but I've provided him the schedule of operations, and so he's been involved with the planning.
Okay, and you said, I'm sorry, November or October?
October 6th and 7th.
6 and 7. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll sort of flag it for him.
Okay, so double check that you guys don't have any issues. Yeah. Do we have anybody else here that has any objections at this point? It sounds like he's tried to resolve everybody's issues.
No, he did. I mean, he's like, still like trying to figure out why 700 CFS, why we need to test that because it's a small difference between the other one. But do you guys think you need it?
Well, the reason we're testing it is because we're trying to hit the operating points that are in line with the new fixed blade runner for a direct comparison. It's going to be an observation. I mean, that's really the only reason, because the upper 1% for the fixed blade runner is right at the generator limit for the existing runner.
Okay, unless Agnes hears something different from Scott, everybody here, you're good to go. So I would say tentatively you're good to go unless we hear.
We're good to go unless there's,
there's
I'm
something.
I'm asking him right now, yeah.
Okay, so we should hear back here in the next day or so if there was any issues.
Right.
Okay.
Thank
Excellent.
You.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, keep moving. We had a couple lower granites. I mentioned earlier the thrust bearing. That's going to take place on Unit 4 at after 2 o'clock today. We have one additional thing that's taking place at the end of the week that I don't think we've had an MOC out on, and that is just an ROV inspection of the North Shore entrance, trying to get that in before we really hit the peak for fall Chinook, see if there's anything we could do to get that operable. So that's that. Yeah, it should have been last week. They tried to get them motivated. They started asking. The earliest they could get it done was this Friday, so they're going to go in there at like 2 o'clock, after 2 o'clock on Friday, to start, take a quick look, see if there's anything we can do. So just notification there. Yeah. And I think for us, that's it for the coordination notification forms.
Hey, Ann. This is Dave Trachtenberg.
Hi, Dave.
We did add, or John sent out, I think yesterday, one for December 1st shutdown of the JBS to help facilitate construction activities. So I think John gave 2 weeks as of yesterday for people to comment back on that.
Yep.
But,
we talked about it a little earlier. I don't think you were on, Dave. And everybody was comfortable with having the 2 weeks. It sounded like so. Hopefully, as part of that, you know, you might recall at the last Fitterwig, we kicked something out to Fitterwig. It sounded like you guys had some good discussions. You've had some tentative discussions on what you've laid out in the MOC, so people just want a chance to read it and review it. And then, if needed, you know, we can have some further discussion depending on any comments we receive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I didn't update the color-coded because I didn't have any indication that there was any construction updates in terms of scheduling this month. So I'll do that again next month.
Fair enough. And big picture for Granite Construction, everything's on schedule. No big changes from my end of stuff in the last month, since last FPOM. Some of the piers are starting to go up. They're probably 30 or 40 feet into the collection, into the transport channel now. They're starting to make the bend behind the gate storage pit, so things are progressing along.
Good. Thank you.
Yep.
So we're ready to move to Fish Passage Plan.
Are you prepared to talk about those change forms, Doug?
Probably not, because aren't these change forms just going to stay on here?
Yeah.
That we kick them out indefinitely?
Yeah, we kick them out until they did the early work to verify if they're okay or not.
Yeah, and I don't know, did you guys at Fitterwig have any updates on that? Was Ryan there to talk about that? I thought that
a little bit.
Okay, so do you have anything you want to mention to this group?
They're going to be testing these low-flow spill patterns at Erdick to determine how they look. They have some diagrams and stuff that they can show everybody what the patterns look like, and then once everybody sees it, you don't necessarily have to go to Erdick, but you can look at these diagrams, these flow diagrams that they have, and say, that looks pretty good to me at low flows, and then we can check that box and approve these as changes for the MPP.
Okay,
good.
What are the dates of that trip?
What's that?
What are the dates of the Erdick trip?
September 21.
Wow, that's soon.
Yeah.
All right, so task group updates. Bond minimum spill, Lors, you're a co-chair of that.
We got the report from Lori. I believe it got sent out to people. And I think they're trying to double up on this to maybe take a look at the sectional model down at Erdick. Of course, it's going to be difficult since that doesn't have a flood collector in it, but Lori had some ideas about some spill and that kind of stuff, but we're just going to wait and see where that pans out.
Are you going on that trip?
Since I've been invited, probably not. I didn't even know when they're going to schedule.
Yeah, when did you guys schedule the, who is going? I mean,
it's been scheduled for a while. It's piggybacking.
TSP.
Yeah, but I had heard that Lori might not be going.
I've not been invited. So it's going to be a little late for me to magically make this all happen in 11 days. So I guess I'll probably not be going. So I guess Gary will be the eyes and ears of the region on that one.
Great. Load shaping guidelines, we're still on hold on that one?
Yes. We're looking at that. And Scott's good with the 6th and 7th of October for the ice.
Good. Are you still on, Brad? Okay. Anyway, we're good. Thank you.
Okay. So adult counting?
I don't think we have any big updates. You know, I think Greg has provided a little bit. We're in process with the solicitation. He did run into some pretty big contracting issues a week ago. Thinks he has those resolved so that we're still back on schedule. You know, the contracting rules are changing all the time, and really little scary stuff now. It really was related to the cost, you know, as we have watched that change over time and then our contracting rules. And so what they're going to do, instead of going for a five-year, well, 1 year with four option years, they'll be doing a 1 year and two option years again. So it'll be a three-year contract. I think the main thing that may benefit is that if we have some new technology with some of the stuff that's going on down here, we would actually be able to implement that sooner. So maybe that will turn out to be something that we can endorse that will save us some funds and change our process a little bit. So it's sort of a mixed response there, but that's where we're headed.
Okay.
Are we going to get a report on how the DALs worked out? Well, I would want to know what we did.
Why are you making us work?
I talked
to the chief of FFPU.
But Wertheimer ran away.
I know. Nathan, did Bob talk to you about that? Because he hadn't mentioned anything about it before.
He was talking about the Dallas North lifetime video. Yeah, I've been in touch with that pretty regularly. And so they did one round of testing. and the orientation to the lights wasn't perfect. Showed some promise overall, so that's the good news. The fish definitely calmed down when there was less than the full amount of illumination that had been previously used for nighttime video. So there's some promise there. But when they went to kind of do the whole 100% infrared, there's some orientation issues. So we're looking at increasing the amount of IR lights. We had to replace some that have already failed, and that work is impending right now. So the latest plan is to try to do one more test in the fall, and there's still fish coming through the fishway. And that's just a matter of trying to coordinate and make it happen, which, you know, gets more challenging as we lose people from our group, but we still have one person on it, so should go forward.
It's your fault. I know, apparently.
It's your fault.
Keep taking people and moving them around.
You ran Wertheimer off and you hired the other one away.
He decided to go before I was put in this position. And arranged to do so while I was on vacation, no less. All right, condition monitoring. We'll meet after the FPOM in October.
Yay. Are you going to be here?
No.
So maybe we might have to punt that one out, because isn't it Trevor?
I have no problem.
Yeah, Trevor is a coach.
He's coaching.
Yeah, so he's not here in October.
Yeah,
yeah, punt it out again.
We'll move it to November?
Yeah.
Why not?
It's going.
Because I
sort of like the treading pin.
Been hanging there for so long anyway. Who cares?
But it's fun for me to make task groups inactive. So if we can complete this, then I can move it to inactive.
We can start a new one.
That's not what happens.
We can only have so many task groups, so I got to move some off. Adult loads.
I'm going to look at Michelle's response to his original thing.
Okay.
If he's fine with that word change, are we done?
Does she have no changes to Ice Harbors and still the same?
Let's see if I can look. This has been 3 months ago since I looked at this stuff, so.
Yeah, that's the one thing. There was some funky stuff with Ice Harbor that I'd like to see change. That's the only major modification I have.
Yeah, I think she was supportive of that.
Yeah.
So.
I'll have to write that up.
Seems like when she came to the meeting, she was pretty supportive
of
some of the stuff that was talked about when we were in here. And I don't know if that's exactly what got written up, but if it is, that seemed like everybody was going
to
work with it.
Also, that new memo to the S&P program that we should somewhat consider how those two things are going to gel.
Oh, you would have to bring that
up.
I was hoping you're going to let that go. But yeah, no, that's the one hanging.
I'm not sure if I've seen that one. Who's that from? Is that from FPC?
That was an FPAC memo, wasn't it? Or FPC?
It's not FPAC. It's an FPC memo because it goes to the FPC board who oversees condition monitoring for what FPC does.
But is that public?
I have no idea. Somewhat?
Well, I don't know. Before we have another meeting, you might want to circulate it just for people's awareness.
Yeah.
Well, it's mostly because NOAA had some questions about how the overall condition monitoring program in the whole basin was going. And now there's some discussions about that. I guess it's going to come up next month.
We're going to have to discuss. There's a couple of issues in that. So there's more to come. It'll be a while before we get this.
So I'm just trying to keep this real simple and easy.
Yeah.
And have that in the stone side little show.
But I'm just thinking for the transport projects, there's a number of fish that they're looking at that they don't necessarily have to. They're looking at 300 to 500 prior to transport. We don't need to be looking at that many, and that's a condition monitoring issue.
Wow.
And so, something that we're going to have to consider.
Do you know someone? You know, I heard there's this agency that actually writes the permits for those.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Well, our permits are. There's a lot of room there. Put it that way.
Yeah.
And Rosanna came and said something about they're actually targeting 800 to 900 fish a day for sub-yearlings. In some cases.
Ooh, where?
And a lot of the projects. So during
that's a lot of fish to
handle.
I think the concern that we have
and the numbers show that's true. I mean, if you look at the number of take on there, it is huge for some reason.
Well, the numbers that you associate with the transport program, we
we want to think about. I get it that we may not want to do condition monitoring, but certainly we've got to think about loading and all that stuff. We've got to have the adequate sample size to be fairly correct ballpark-wise, and the only concern I have is if we push them back to, like, say, less than under 100 or something, and then we get into a sockeye issue.
So we have to consider that, and you know, but some of those numbers were developed when we had a much higher density loading than we do right now. We're not transporting as many fish as we used to.
Right.
So some of those more prehistoric numbers might need to be adjusted. So I think there's a happy medium that we could say this is a necessary number of fish to handle without having excessive handling effects on fish. So it's not as simple, I don't think, as just saying let's figure this out in November and be done with it.
Well, no. I just look at the condition monitoring we have for FPOM is quite different than the S&P one that the FPC is doing. That's going to be a tar baby way to happen, and I'm staying as far away.
But the only thing, the only way I see them together is like prior to transport, you're doing condition sampling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you handle X number of fish for this reason, it's justified, but then when you switch to the S&P, you handle this number of fish, and that's justified. How different are those two numbers, and why are they different? Yeah, we better have a good reason for that, for those differences. And so you might be able to use the same number of fish for both programs, and if you could, why wouldn't you? And so we might want to consider that question before we approve the condition sampling and then go into the S&P discussion and go, why do we approve that number? That's ridiculous, because it should be this number, and next thing you know, we're doing it twice.
You guys are the ones with the big heartburn on this one, so I'll let you...
Yeah, I know. We have a little more work to do.
Go find some windmills, and I'll let you tilt for a while.
So this won't be in this year's FPP?
We'll try to have something at November at Palm afterwards. We'll try to have some information and see if we can have some progress.
Yeah, because I mean, honestly, what Gary had, I didn't think was that way out of bounds. Now, if we start getting more detail about numbers of fish, that kind of stuff, that's when things might go kitty-wampus on us. So. Complexity is vastly more fun.
Well, and you might want to consider when we get into something that seems to be kind of a, I won't say, I know epizootic is the wrong word because that's a disease word, but when we get into kind of an emergency situation in some year, maybe we have some caveats that's an emergency again that allow us to do something to get a good feel on the percentages so that we're not, and then try to keep it as a general rule lower but have some ability for people to kick in. You know, we get pretty worked up in here when all of a sudden our descaling rates, like someplace like Granite or Ice or wherever, go from, you know, 1 or 1.5% up to 16.5%. But, you know, if we've got really low numbers, we've had, you know, depending on the river conditions, you know, yeah, it may not be as meaningful. And we need to have some way to kind of get a realistic idea of what's going on out in the field.
You really caught me by surprise with the 8 or 900 forever.
Yeah.
As far as I know, Target has been during the spring summer migration 350 to 500, and you cut it back down to the sub because all you need is 100 fish on the subs.
Yeah.
I think it happens accidentally when you get 800 or 900.
That's what we thought too. To look at the permit and like, oh, well, they're Tigers. They got 600 that day. They got 550 that day. It's probably just on accident because they set their rate and more fish come through, right?
Yep.
Well. Then Rosanna came through and I was like, they're telling us to get 800 fish.
And one of the other things that may drive the actual sample size is the total number of fish coming in, because they can only turn the sampler down so much. So if you have a large number of fish, you're going to have more fish on the sample.
Yeah, that's way more fish than should be being sampled anywhere on a routine basis. On an accident, so I guess my background is that you set the sample rate and all of a sudden you'll have a plug, particularly in the fall, of fish that'll just come through. So you might have a day or two as you're getting your sample rate back down to what's reasonable, and then it'll just go right through the floor and the fish will disappear again too, right? And then you won't even get your 100. But if they're
that's very different. So that you don't fall through the floor and not get your fish. So if you target a little higher number, our permit, you know, has the capacity to cover it. I'm just saying this could be the conversations that are occurring.
Interesting.
Okay.
So that's the kind of stuff to talk about, because if we're in a period in the fall and we don't really have any issues, does it really matter if they drop down to like 25 fish for one day and we have to artificially bump it back up? That might be the better route to be going, huh?
Right.
You said they're targeting 800 or 900?
very...
They should really be targeting 300 to 500.
Right, yeah. But that really the range was
900. Yeah, 800 to 900 on some days.
Once you get in the set, you don't even need that.
If you really want to know the number of contact with Santa.
Well, and it'd be good to know the project, too, because that almost, I'm thinking that that's upstream, so that's a granite or goose sort of comment, maybe a goose comment. I don't know. It'd be interesting to know which project.
Mm-hmm. So at the lower projects, they provide weekly reports on the sample rate, numbers of fish sample, et cetera.
We do.
You don't see those?
Those are provided as well.
So you guys see those? Yeah. You see the numbers, and now we're just... Is there a move to increase the sample rate? I'm a little bit confused.
No, it's actually NOAA's looking at decreasing handling.
They want to handle fewer fish.
Right. Fewer fish. If we can achieve the same goals that we currently have and reduce handling, that's what we're trying to do.
Okay. Got it.
So we consider operations at the same time. I mean, if we reduce handling, we're still collecting them. I guess we're going to still be, right now, until we go to a new buyout, we won't really be suggesting anything other than what we standardly do, late fall of trucking. Yeah, I shouldn't even be opening that can of worms. Right. But what's wrong with me?
Yeah, we've got enough on that.
You really want to go there.
I don't. I don't know what's wrong with me today.
Did you hear? You weren't at F. You guys were at FPAC. What was the update that Paul gave on the numbers of fish transported this year? You guys remember that?
Oh, it's really low. It's like 2.5 million, I think.
It's like
maybe
11.
3.
11 to 14%.
11 to 14%.
11 to 14%. Well,
yes and no, but that's based on
preliminary data.
And it's also based on the assumption that all the fish that died somehow died that would have been collected. It's like, we're going to have to wait until someone does a better job of teasing out. Because I mean, if they all died before we get to Granite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. So until we know the numbers, like, it's all based on this assumption. Like, well, you had all these fish. It's like, well, did we?
Right.
Yeah, so we look forward to seeing them.
It's going to be a delightful discussion.
Yeah, but that's...
And the resurvival date is going to be awesome right this year.
More to come. More to come.
Still, but it's going to be horrible.
But the percentage that he shared was ugly.
Well, I mean, the percentage he shared is ugly compared to what they're asking us to do in the buyout.
Well, we aren't asking. I mean,
well, we're looking for 50. We're largely
targeting
trying
this
to
roundabout.
Yeah, so spread the risk. It doesn't say 50-50.
Spread the
risk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason was, I mean, we got such low flows in the snake that when you're spilling, 17 kcfs, you have a very high spill ratio, and so then your fish go to market.
Yep. Which is what people have been arguing with us for years that they wanted. So
yeah.
We'll see how
whether
it goes.
Whether you like that or not.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
Yeah. Right.
Some
years. Yeah, some years.
All right, so we'll talk in November then, huh?
Maybe.
Sure. Maybe.
We'll see if he's ready.
Yeah.
You can think about it while you're out hunting.
Adolph Lowe's? Hunt.
Keep hunting.
So since October is free after FPOM, maybe we could do just at least get together and make sure we're all still on the same
still
page.
Still in the same exact spot we've been the past 8 months?
Pretty
much. Okay, good. Just checking.
Well, are we going to do anything?
No.
Then why would we continue?
No. To
have it on here
because
as
we know
a potential.
What's right, but we're not going to do anything about
unless,
it. So,
unless we can get some information that says that it's a
problematic.
So let's meet after the October FPOM and just kind of come to that conclusion with the task group. Because if we're really not going to do anything, then it's just irritating. Division calls me and says, what are you doing with...
Well, I'll just put a change form in for the triggers in a change form. That's
sweet. But you have to have some data to back that up.
I did.
Carrie just wanted to go to Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's right. You wanted to go with the school patterns.
You tried bailing out this time. That's in instead.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That must have been one awesome Rochambeau.
You heard the seafood restaurant was closed.
Yeah, something. Some migration was going away.
And Ricardo had said that John is working on the after-action report for the AFF today rather than being here joining us for this lovely meeting.
You don't want to be inactive?
I think he really wants it to be inactive.
Well, that's put in the title of the agenda.
I know.
That's if it really wants to be inactive, still have an active.
That's right. They really like that.
I do read your agenda.
What's to be done? Well, is there anything else?
Wow, short but sweet.
Because mm-hmm. Vern was just giving me crap about how you haven't beat my record for short meetings, have you?
This is your chance, Gary.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
He's on a houseboat. Doing backflips off the slide.
Honestly, Gary houseboat sounds like the start of like a bad movie.
Him doing backflips, that's just the advantage.
So he's on vacation.
He's on vacation. Somebody in his family always had a bucket list to go on a houseboat on some lake in Minnesota, and his wife's relatives, and he got pulled into it. So.
He couldn't get out.
He's fishing for pike off this houseboat.
Must be actually. He's trolling.